So we're continuing our series on battle lines, where we've been looking at the armour of God. And we're going to be looking at another aspect of the armour of God this morning. But before that, I want to tell you something. This is a personal confession. I want to let you know, I want to be honest with you. I really struggle sometimes with a lack of peace. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that. In my own strength, I think I'm naturally quite an anxious person. I think I get frustrated quite easily. I think that I definitely take things personally. I know in my own strength that that is a it's a character flaw. And I'm pretty sure that actually, if we were all honest, that we all struggle sometimes with a lack of peace. Yeah. Maybe when something goes wrong in our life, maybe just your neighbours wound you up, you struggle with a lack of peace. We spent some time yesterday with Diane's parents, and they're currently having an extension built on the back of their house. And that is like prime time for annoying your neighbours. We were really pleased that they said, actually, the neighbours have been really good about the fact that we've got builders making loads of noise all day long. We're still in, on good speaking terms with our neighbours. Because these little things are so so easy for them to kind of muck up our peace. So when I was asked this morning to speak about the gospel of peace, in my own strength, I felt really unprepared because naturally it's something that I struggle with. So I felt like I was unqualified to talk to you about peace when I know that I struggle with it. But I think the reality is we're probably all in a similar position. Yeah. Let me tell you a story. Over the last few months, myself and Diane, we've been really struggling. We've been struggling with our finances. We had a huge issue with the business where we lost quite a lot of money from a client. And it really kind of put us on the back foot. And for the last probably 3 months, we've been working really, really hard to try and address that issue and deal with it. At the exact same time that all these problems happened, we'd made some big commitments in the business. We took on another member of staff. We'd spent quite a lot of money on advertising and things. So it was really, really a bad time. And I know that I've regularly stood up, certainly probably maybe 12 months ago, and told you about all the great times when God had provided for us. And to be honest, I felt so challenged because I felt like God hadn't provided. I felt like God had let us down. I felt like I didn't understand what was going on. It got to a particularly bad point a few weeks ago where the cupboards were bare. We didn't have any money for any food that day. And Diane, one morning, was sat and was considering what she would say when she went to the food bank to get money because to get food because we just didn't have anything in the cupboard that night. That very same day, an envelope was put through the door that was unmarked that had some money for us. And what an amazing answer to prayer that God just went, do you know what? I'm going to provide. You don't need to use the food bank. I'm going to provide. And the very next day, some friends of ours came round and they brought us some food for our freezer and they put some petrol in our tank. And that same day, another unnamed envelope came through the door with some money in it. And it's like God was saying, do you know what? You might feel like God sometimes is not there, but actually when he sends an answer to prayer, it is above and beyond. It is abundant. I felt like I was tired and frustrated and that God had ignored me and God was waiting for the perfect moment to demonstrate that he hadn't let us down, that he was still there. And since that moment, things have begun to change in our family and in our life. We took on a new client in the business on Friday, which was amazing. Awesome. We were given another generous gift yesterday. So God just continues to provide, even though in my own peace, I felt like the world was turning upside down. And I don't understand sometimes why he doesn't provide when we think he should, why he doesn't answer our prayers the way that we think he should, but he always answers them. Yeah. I was frustrated with the lack of prayers and God sent three. That is the way that God works. That is the way that God works in my life. Yeah. And it was in the moment that I realized that God was saying something to me. He was reminding me that I still need to rely on him. Yeah. Because it's so easy to forget the times when you relied on God, when you feel like you can do it in your own strength again. And every now and again, God just goes, don't forget, I'm here to provide for you. We can still rely on God. I sat down this week to write this message, and every night as I sat down and prepared a little bit more of my message, God challenged me. He challenged me to live a life that is full of peace. He challenged me to actually put aside the worries and the anxiety and rely on Him. This week for us has been full of answered prayers, and not every week is like that. But every week is full of God's grace, and every week is full of God's peace, and it's how we connect with the peace that God has to offer us. In the natural, I still lack peace at times, but I know that God is looking out for me. So this morning, we're gonna go back to the verse that we've been reading each week, which is the passage in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God. And it says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So in that passage, there's one verse that I want us to focus on. And it says this. It says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And over the next few minutes, we're just going to look at a few phrases in that passage and see what that means to us. So let's start with this, the gospel of peace. So the gospel is defined as the glad tidings of salvation through Jesus. So the gospel is the fantastic great news proclaiming the grace of God that saves us. Yeah. Let's be clear about this. What an amazing thing. Yeah. We are saved because of Christ. Yeah. That is the gospel. Right. And the gospel is peace because that message in itself gives us peace. It gives us peace. It gives us a calmness and a steadiness and a security for who we are, who God has called us to be, and where God has purposed us to be, and the future that He has planned for us. All comes down to that message. Yeah. That we are saved through Jesus Christ. Peace in that context is defined like this, and it's quite a wordy thing, but let me just read it out to you. It's a distinctly peculiar phrase to Christianity, that the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot, or whatsoever sort that is. The word is used of those who assured of their salvation tranquilly await the return of Christ and the transformation of all things which will accompany that event. So to put it simply, if you live with the gospel of peace, you fear nothing from God. You are totally happy with who God has made you to be. Totally happy with what God has given you. Totally at peace with the hand you've been dealt, whatever that looks like. I don't think I can say that fully, that I am totally at peace with everything. Let me put it another way. Are you totally at peace? Are you totally satisfied with your bank balance, with your job, with your family? Are you completely at peace with everything that you have? Because the gospel of peace says that we should be content in all things. Yeah. Content no matter how bad no matter you feel like your life is sometimes. No matter how you might frustratingly compare yourself to others, that you're actually content in who God has made you to be. Content when your bank balance is empty. Content when your bank balance is full. Content when you're alone. Content when you're with your family. Content. The gospel of peace is about being content in all things. It says in James that we need to be at peace with each other. It says that a lack of peace causes quarrels and division amongst you. So if we're at peace with ourselves and we're at peace with who God made us to be, what a challenge. We should be at peace with the person sat next to us, at peace with every other person in this room. And when we're not at peace with everybody else, then do we look at ourselves and go, what's disturbing my peace? Why am I having an argument with Paul? Which a few weeks ago, to be fair, I did, and I felt very bad about it, and I apologized to him. We don't get it right all the time. But am I at peace with my relationship with everybody else? He says that when we ask for things in the wrong motives, we don't get it. Sometimes our motivation affects our peace.
Yeah, that's good.
When Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, he said he was leaving us with peace.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit living within us should give us peace.
Yeah.
He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus tells his disciples that he's going away, but that he will return. And he said that just that knowledge that I'm going, but I'm coming back should give us peace. Peace that we know that God, that Jesus is going to return. That should give us peace.
Yeah.
I have told you these things so that you may have peace.
Yeah.
It says in Romans that the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. When we allow our mind to be governed by our own human nature, we lack peace. It robs us of our peace. When we allow the Holy Spirit to govern our thoughts, it gives us peace. Lack of peace is a warning sign in our lives that our relationship with God is not right. You know, the funny thing about peace is that we often use it as a justification of maybe our actions and our decisions. Well, I felt peace about it. And we often describe it, well, I felt peace. And I think sometimes just the fact that we say, I felt peace, kind of implies that it's something that's out of our control. But actually, peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So peace is something that we make a conscious decision to take. I was talking about this with Diane the other day, and she gave me a great analogy, which she says when she pictures the fruit of the Spirit, she pictures a tree growing in her mind. And when she feels like she lacks peace, she picks that fruit from the tree. And I thought, what an amazing way of thinking about the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
When in the natural I lack peace, I consciously pick the peace that God has given for me and apply it to my life. That I make a decision to accept that peace.
Yeah.
I think peace is a discipline that we need to work on.
Yeah.
A skill that needs to be taught. And like anything that we need to do, we need to practice it and we need to master it. So day by day, I pick up that fruit of peace. And then something else comes along and I pick it up again. and something else knocks it out of my hand, and I pick it up again. And I keep doing that day by day until my natural response is to pick up the peace of God. No matter what situation, no matter what's going on in my life, I pick up that peace and say, I'm going to be at peace with this situation. And that's a hard thing for us to learn. But it's a gift from God that allows us to stand firm no matter what comes against us. It says this in Romans. It says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have that truth. Nothing can separate us. Nothing. But we need to take that peace and we need to accept that peace.
Yeah, right.
So let's go back to that verse. With your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. We know what the gospel of peace is all about. So let's go back a little bit. What does it mean when it says readiness? What does it mean to be ready? To be ready means to be prepared.
Yeah.
You know, it says in Timothy that we should be ready to give an account of our belief, account of our faith. Readiness is about preparation. We're constantly under attack. We've talked about that this morning with what's going on with Halloween. The devil is always looking for an opportunity to knock us off our feet. To trick us, to try and tell us that, hey, Halloween's okay. It's just a bit of harmless fun. To tell us that these things are okay that are not okay. But we should be prepared and we should hold on to the truth. Be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for your hope. So we should always be confident in our faith. If we're going to be ready with the gospel of peace, we need to actually understand what that means for our lives. And we need to be able to explain that to somebody else. Because the power that comes from the gospel of peace is the power that brings salvation. And when somebody asks you, why are you so peaceful when all this rubbish is going on in your life? You say, because Jesus did this for me and it gives me peace. And you explain what it is that Jesus did. So readiness is about actually not only just understanding this, but applying it to your life and actually being able to demonstrate and explain it to those people that want to know why have you got such peace when this has just happened?
Yeah.
And that's what it means to be ready. Let's go back to that passage. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We've talked about the gospel of peace. We've talked about what it means to be ready. So let's for a moment just think, what does it mean to have your feet fitted? And I just need to borrow Jack for 1 minute. You see, what's really interesting in this passage is when you go back through the other bits of the armor of God, they're all defined very, very clearly. Let me just grab that end. Whoa. Thanks, Jack. They're all defined very, very clearly. There's a belt, there's a breastplate, there's a shield, there's a helmet, there's a sword. But for this one, it just says feet fitted. Now, I think it's safe to say that we can presume that when it talks about feet fitted, it's talking about shoes. And I brought some shoes as an example for this point. And we'll come back to those in a minute. You see, it says that our feet should be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of Christ. In fact, the word that it comes from is to be shod or to be bound under. So it talks about a centurion binding their feet to protect their foot when they go into battle. Now, for a Roman centurion, he wore sandals. They weren't pinking in a girl's size, whatever. But he wore sandals. But the difference between his sandals and Grace's sandals was that his sandals were designed for battle. In fact, the bottom of his sandals were covered in like metal spikes, metal studs. and they were designed to grip the ground when a soldier was in battle. And the only way I can think to describe it, and I'm afraid I don't have a pair as an example, is to think about a rugby boot. You see, a rugby boot has got studs on the bottom of it. And if you think about the purpose of that rugby boot, it is to keep your feet planted. So when a rugby player is in a scrum, the point of the scrum is to not be pushed backwards. And it's a little bit like that in our lives. That actually we have the full weight of another person trying to push us back. And our feet fitted with the gospel of peace are designed so that our feet stay firmly planted in the ground. And that as we're in that, if I can use this phrase, that scrum with the devil, that as he pushes us, that we plant our feet and that we don't slide back, that we stay our ground. The devil is determined. He wants to push you back into your old life, into your old thoughts and into your old habits. He doesn't want you to stand your ground, and he will keep pushing. So when you take off those shoes, he's still pushing. He's still, the temptation of going back to the person you used to be is always there. Yeah. So our feet should be firmly planted. Our feet, our shoes, give us an assurance of who God is. They plant our feet firmly on the ground. They keep us sure-footed throughout our life. And it's easy to stop there. But I think there is more to it than that. Now, I don't know, for those of you that have been a Christian a long time, I was kind of always brought up in church, and from being probably about 5 or 6, became a Christian when I was 8. So I've heard people talk about the armor of God a lot. And the one thing that I remember from Sunday school is this. I remember being taught that all of the parts of the armor of God were defensive parts, except for the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which was an offensive weapon. I don't know whether that was just my church, but that was kind of what I was taught. You see, the thing is, I want to challenge that. Those sandals that Roman soldiers wore were not just about standing their ground. In fact, they had another purpose. The studs on the bottom of their sandals were designed so that when they got their enemy to the ground, the studs would break their bones when they stood on them. So the sandal, as small as it was an offensive weapon too. It was used for crushing the bones of their enemies as they defeated them. You see, shoes have a purpose. And as the famous saying goes, sometimes the best defense is a strong offense. I think shoes have another purpose as well. I think shoes are designed for moving. They're not just designed for standing still. All shoes have a purpose. For me, maybe as a bloke, I find the purpose of shoes fairly straightforward, and I'll demonstrate it for you now. These shoes are for running. You wear them when you want to go running. These shoes have been sat in my cupboard for about 15 years, unused, but these are my climbing boots. They are designed for climbing. If I was to go climbing, I would get these out of the cupboard and put them on. Very straightforward purpose. These are skateboarding trainers, which I haven't done since I was at university. But that's the purpose. They are for skateboarding. These are my smart shoes when I have to go to meetings for work. So fairly straightforward, simple purpose. Climbing, skateboarding, whatever hobby you have, chances are you probably have the appropriate footwear. Maybe you've got some football boots. Maybe you've got some rugby boots. Maybe you play hockey and you've got something for that. Whatever you do, maybe you go skiing boots, snowboarding boots. There are shoes for pretty much any sport that you want to do. Straightforward purpose. Diane's approach to shoes is slightly different. Okay, so we have Diane's shoes for casual, or maybe because they match a certain pair of jeans. And she might have 3 other pairs of these that look like this, but in different colours, to go with different tops that she wears. These are Diane's high heels, which apparently are for jumping up and down when you sing at the front of church. I think the real purpose for these, if we're honest, is they make me look taller, is the purpose that that Diane bought them for. Other purposes, which I haven't brought examples of, is they were on sale, or they cheered me up because I was having a bad day, so I went shopping. So different purposes for different shoes. But the feet fitted with the gospel of peace serves a purpose. The sandals that the centurion wore were about standing in the ground and crushing their enemy's bones. We should be ready to move with the gospel. And I think if we're going to be ready to move with the gospel, we need to have the appropriate footwear. In fact, I think we need to be wearing them. I think they need to be laced up. And I think that we should be ready to be used by God. Let me give you another example. When Josiah was first born, we put him in things like this. Look how small he was. He was tiny. But the interesting thing about these clothes is that it's got this bit which is designed to cover up his feet. So that kept his feet warm, kept him snuggly and cuddly. That was the purpose. And then he got a little bit bigger, and he started wearing little trousers and little tops. So we needed to get something else that was appropriate for his feet. So we had these tiny, look at the size of them. They're not going to fit you anymore, are they? Tiny little socks. And these were designed, again, for just kind of keeping him all snuggly and warm. But his feet haven't always stayed this size. In fact, he became more active. So our next upgrade was these. Socks with rubber bits on the bottom. Little bobbly things to stop him sliding over, particularly in our kitchen, which has got laminate flooring. And he's headbutted the floor a few times. So these help him to not headbutt the floor, don't they? They're good. So as he started to grow a bit, we had to get him different footwear that was appropriate for the things that he was doing. And that was great. But then he started to crawl. So what we did is we got these. And we got him some little shoes. And they've kind of got soft soles on the bottom. They've got a little bit of a grip. But as he crawled around, he needed that extra bit of grip, something a little bit more solid, to encourage him to crawl. And then I can't really show you because he's wearing them, but the next upgrade was he started walking. So he's now got some little shoes, which we specifically bought because he can't pull them off his feet, unlike every other pair of shoes and socks we bought him. But they have a hard rubber sole. So now that he's walking, he's got something that's appropriate for what he needs to do. You see, the other thing is all these things were brilliant, lovely and soft, because he was generally on the carpet. Now, he doesn't want to be on the carpet. He wants to be on the driveway, in the garden, on the school playground. He wants to be everywhere that's rough and cold and uncomfortable and will hurt his feet if he's not got the right shoes on. If he'd have kept his little socks on, he'd have never been able to get to the point he is now where he's running around, hello, making loads of noise. He needed to progress through this sequence of shoes to get to that point. In the same way, we need to make sure that we are wearing the right kind of shoes. Shoes protect our feet. There's only a couple of places that we probably walk around barefoot, and aside from our home, the other one that I can think of is the beach. We might walk around barefoot on the beach because it's nice and soft. I'm convinced that that footprints person might not have needed carrying by God if he had some better footwear. Maybe he got to the rough part of the beach and God had to give him a piggyback because he wasn't wearing his gospel of peace shoes to help him get going across the beach. So don't quote me on that, but that's my concept for today. You see, I think the problem is that for a lot of Christians, we spend most of our days wearing these. These are slippers, and these have a purpose. Slippers have an easy purpose. They are designed for keeping your feet warm and snuggly, for relaxing at home, never for going to the supermarket, just in case. They're not for going to the supermarket. They're for indoor wear only. That would be my opinion. They're for putting your feet up. You don't wear these because you need to do a lot of walking. You wear these because you don't want to walk. You wear these because you want to put your feet up on the sofa and keep your feet warm so you don't have to use your feet. If all you ever do is live your life on the carpet, you'll never need anything beyond this. Yeah. But I don't think God has called us to live our life on the carpet. I think God wants us to be ready. And I think that means that we need to trade these in and we need to get some better footwear. And I brought some hiking boots because these are designed for action. These are designed for walking. These are designed for walking up Snowdon, dear, aren't they? We bought these for Diane because we decided to walk up Snowdon and she wanted the proper gear to go with it. She's not been up Snowdon since, but we've got the boots. Just in case she ever decides she wants to walk up Snowdon again. Shoes are designed for taking action. And I think for every one of us, what we need to do is we need to take our slippers off and we need to put our big boy or big girl shoes on and we need to be ready to take action when God calls us. They should be on our feet. They should be laced up. They should be ready to go. They should be shoes with a purpose. Shoes that are designed to take action. Shoes that allow you to dig your heels in. Shoes that allow you to stand toe-to-toe with your enemy. And allow you to be sure-footed when the terrain gets rough. Yeah. God wants you to find your feet by putting on your peace. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to wrap it up there with a challenge. Why not vote with your feet? Yeah. And stand with me now as we all make a choice to live with the peace of God that comes through the readiness of the gospel of peace. So will you all stand with me? Lord God, I thank you that you give us peace. I thank you that it's available to every single one of us. And Lord, this morning, as we stand here, Lord, I pray that you help us to trade in those comfy slippers and put on the gospel of peace, the right footwear for the job that you have called us to do, Lord, which is to be ready to tell other people about you, to share the good news of our faith and our salvation in you, Jesus. Yeah. So, Lord, I pray that as we walk out of this place today, that you would clothe us with the right footwear for the job that you've called us to do.
That's right.
In Jesus' name,
yeah.
Amen.